Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Join us, kids, for the meeting. After the meeting, you'll get 15 minutes of crap mixed with 15 minutes of recovery.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLACRRMMDRAHAFAIR or any of them. They're guys.
Are you initially challenged?
Yes. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with
Shelley
and Mark M.
What?
Mark was there with it, but you weren't. It's okay, Shelly B. So how was your day?
Ouchie. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to wake up. I'm sort of accidental. I had an accidental nap.
Yeah, but that's okay, though.
No, not really. I hate taking naps because then I have nap crabbies and I can't wake up for the rest of the day. And it's like, I might as well just go to bed.
So she's going to have nap crabbies.
Are those things that get stuck in the corner of your eyes?
No, it's the things that get stuck in the corner of your eyes when I poke you because you said something stupid.
I always thought nap crabbies were those things you got when you were away at college.
No.
Yeah.
You ever get nap
crabbies? Had to be careful who you napped with.
Yeah. We had a nap crabby thing going around school when I was there.
Yeah.
And
you little napster,
you either went to the health center at school, or if you couldn't afford that, this one guy told me, he goes, yeah, because I got them. I got crabs when I was at school. And this guy goes, go buy some flea and tick shampoo. And I go, like dog stuff? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, that won't get rid of them. He goes, gets rid of ticks on dogs. Did it? Boom, gone. Yay. How's your day, Mark?
That's cool, but when did you stop lifting your leg when you peed?
It took me about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
My day was busy. Got up, went to church, had a client meeting from one to four that somehow ended at five.
Nice.
Had a 4:30 Memorial Day barbecue at my sister's that I didn't get to till 5:30. Supposed to be here at 6:30.
Nice.
Got here at 7.
So. Oh, well. And?
And now it's time to record the show.
And
then at that point, you and I are heading out to the Cocaine Anonymous World Services convention out in Long Beach for the cigar meeting tonight.
For the cigar meeting. We're going to meet a bunch of cigars.
Yep.
Now, don't they say, like, my name's Mark and I'm smoking a whatever you happen to be smoking?
Your sobriety date and what you're smoking.
Awesome. It's about time to start one of those around here somewhere. I don't know if there's enough cigar smokers locally.
I'll bet there are, but they won't come.
No?
Nah. They don't care. I don't care. Somebody cares, though. They're calling me.
Yeah. Well, let me guess. It's your sponsee.
Yeah.
Who wants to meet us at the convention?
Yeah, he's called me four times today.
Awesome. You know what that means?
What?
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. We've got our news girl is back today.
Yay.
I can't remember in the movie Anchorman, it's Ron Burgundy. What's the other gal's name? The
last name is Corningstone.
Yeah, something Corningstone. Shelley Cornerstone. Corningstone.
Right.
Shelley Corningware.
Well, anyway, the first couple of stories here are, I'm going to spread these out. There are four celebrity boozy news stories, and they all came out of, and this is a plug for the magazine, the 12-Step Gazette.
They did.
I'd actually read two of them in the mainstream media, but But the story is right here in front of my face. The first one comes under the heading of all the things that I don't care about, that ranks right up there.
This one's my favorite category.
Yeah.
Is this Partridge Family related?
No. Oh. This is Demi Lovato.
She's sober, though.
Yes, and she just took 2 years. Congratulations.
Yay.
Happy birthday to Demi Lovato for taking 2 years.
Now, what is it about that you don't care about?
Because I'm not exactly sure why she felt the need to tweet, "Yay, I'm 2 years old. It works if you work it, and I'm getting all these piercings to celebrate," and then posting pictures of all her piercings.
Where are those posted?
On Twitter.
Oh, I'll bet they're posted other places now. Does it give any details of where she got pierced?
Right near her Twitter.
Well, right. Yeah, if she got two piercings.
Well,
for
there
her
was
2 years.
It says.
My guess is the nipples.
Her ear is one of them.
Oh. So?
It featured a few new holes filled with new studs and rings. I'm kind of like, that's great. That helps me in my recovery. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm like, why would you tweet that?
She got 2 years.
That's awesome. If she had just tweeted, I'm really ecstatic that I've just taken my 2 year cake in recovery, I would have been awesome. But then, because the whole thing focused around her.
So I'm going to go mutilate myself to celebrate.
Exactly. I'm like, wow.
See, I disagree. My guess is that because a lot of people are into piercings, more people will check out that story who don't even know she's sober to see about the piercings, and then they'll be like, ooh, wow, even Demi Lovato's sober. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, I'm seeing that happening.
I'll bet it does.
We'll just have a flood of people at our Tuesday night meeting coming in and saying, if Demi can do it, I can do it.
I would laugh if, like, the next meeting, we'll be at the cigar meeting tonight, some guy will go, dude, Demi Lovato did it. Mark and I'll be looking at each other like, are you kidding?
I'm going to start saying that.
Then let's start a meeting at a tattoo parlor and piercing palace.
Sweet.
The other story is one of the, this falls under the heading of, dude, everyone knew this. David Cassidy finally deciding he's an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah. That
what
is
was his, what was his
related.
First clue?
Like his third DUI.
Yeah, no kidding.
He said that he started, he said he'd never been arrested for anything until he was like 60 years old, and then suddenly he gets three DUIs. He said he started drinking heavily in 2002.
Shit, is he 60 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's over 60.
Time flies.
And he got all of his DUIs within like a year.
Yeah, not good.
So he finally has decided he's an alcoholic. I'm thinking, you know, we all knew that a long time ago,
especially
Dave.
Since on like the second DUI, you're supposed to lose your license for like 2 years or something. But getting all three of them in the first year.
If you get three in a year, the chances are that they may not, none of them may have gone to court yet.
That's true. And plus, I think he has residences in different states, so he probably has licenses in different, because one of his DUIs was in L.A. and one was in Florida.
Florida.
And by the way, along with the three DUIs, he's done three stints in rehab.
Awesome.
Non-alcoholics don't tend to do stints in rehab.
No. Yeah. We were talking to someone last night, and I brought up the whole, if you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. And this person's like, well, I don't know if I'm really like a drug addict, alcoholic. And I go, normal people never really end up at meetings. They just really don't. People that are normal just don't end up sitting in a room wondering if they're alcoholics and addicts, because that never comes up to them.
I don't know if I agree with that.
No?
No. Because more and more normal people are showing up in meetings.
Do I detect sarcasm?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, less and less addicts and alcoholics are showing up in meetings.
Yeah.
Well, there is that.
Or their parents send them. You hear the seagulls?
It's the birds.
Yeah. Sound a lot like
darn
parrots.
Noisy parrots.
Yeah.
Our next story is from Phil K. Phil K. This is out of Detroit.
Is there anything still in Detroit?
Yes.
Besides $5 houses?
There is apparently.
Rabid dogs.
Aliens.
It's aliens.
Now, let's see. The attorney, U.S. attorney, the assistant attorney, is prosecuting a man named Leo Sharp.
Why?
Because they say he's a cocaine mule.
Why? Is this the old man?
He's 90 years old.
Didn't we do this?
Did we do? No, because it wasn't grayed out on in the news.
Okay.
Did we already do this one?
I think we already did this.
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Well, you didn't. Did you save it as new again? Because it looked like it was new.
I didn't save anything. It wouldn't be grayed out because this is a brand new computer with brand new browsers.
It can't be new.
I wonder how many of these we're going to find that are...
Bruce.
Yeah?
Just because you get a new computer doesn't mean that your email shows all of a sudden all everything's new.
No, because I found it last time and probably someone just sent it to you. I figured you would have realized by reading the story that, oh yeah, that sounds really familiar. See, she doesn't listen when I do the news.
Well, then we will go down to just
that's the
case.
One where the assistant attorney general says we could take care of his medical issues.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we absolutely did it.
Well, you might as well go through them because...
Okay, this one's from Fran. I'm assuming we haven't heard this one yet.
Fantastic.
Have we had a story about McDonald's from Fran?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
All right, then. McDonald's is going to be redesigning their Happy Meal box. And the new Happy Meal character is getting released on Monday. And apparently it's getting a little bit of flack.
Does it look like a hooker?
No, it's a red box with the yellow golden arches for the handles still. But then it has this giant, happy, like, demented-looking smiley face on the front.
Uh-huh.
The test audience of children and adults who have been buying this new Happy Meal box claim to be terrified and confused by the new character.
You want to be terrified by a McDonald's character? Go on YouTube.
The original
look up
Ronald
at the original
McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Man, he was a scary
looked like
looking
MF. Looked like the Joker from.
Oh my God! Yeah,
looked like
exactly. Looked like Cesar
from
Romero.
Dark Knight. No,
looked
look
like
at
a pedophile.
Actually, looked like the Joker from that Heath Ledger played.
And he walks up to like some kid on the street, and the kid's like, "Oh, you're a stranger," and he's like, "But I'm Ronald McDonald. It's okay." And I'm like, man.
The character is called Happy, and he is meant to bring fun, and I'm quoting here, fun and excitement to kids' meals while also serving as an ambassador for balanced and wholesome eating.
Balanced and wholesome eating from McDonald's?
Well, you know, you can get... Happy is supposed to encourage them to eat fruits, vegetables, blah, blah, blah. You can get little apple slices instead of fries.
But why would you want to?
Yeah, if you're going to McDonald's, really, your kid's going to want, yes, I want the apple slices, Mom. No. They want the extra double large fries.
They want the burger fries and chocolate shake.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hot apple pie.
That's the whole point
actually,
of going to McDonald's.
God, remember the old school hot apple pies?
Those were
they
good.
They dropped them in the fryer. They came out. They were like frickin' napalm.
Yep. Yeah, they were nuclear. You could not eat them for like an hour.
Yeah.
And the new pies? Suck.
Yeah, they're not that great.
And they don't even have the cherry one most of the time. Because I like the cherry pie, not the apple one.
You know, speaking of fast food things where they change things up, remember the bumper stickers for In-N-Out Burger?
And you cut them.
You cut the B and the R off it,
yeah.
And it said In-N-Out Urge.
Yes.
Every car in California had one of those
yes,
on it.
All the boys thought they were so clever doing that.
In-N-Out Urge.
Yeah.
We were what? Clever. I saw that on plenty of girls' vehicles as well.
Well, not on my vehicle, because you know what my bumper sticker said?
Read?
No, my bumper sticker said, what part of no didn't you understand?
That's why you didn't get a lot of dates.
Probably. Now, let's see here. Did we have Jessica Johnson, 25 years old, from Florida in Fort Lauderdale?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I haven't had her. You had her, Bruce?
You know, you just blackout. You never know.
Well, if you had her, it would have been a little bit crowded in there because she uh-oh. Had a big bag of marijuana stuck up her coochie.
Oh. Ah.
She was arrested on a separate charge.
Here comes the question. How big a bag? How much?
Well, actually, I don't think it was that big a bag. How much is 2.6 grams?
No, not that much.
Not that much? Okay.
No.
Well, it can't possibly be that much because her bail's only $250.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting about the story is they told her if because she was arrested on a different charge. They said, if you have any contraband or any illegal drugs on you or whatever, you better tell us now. Otherwise, you're going to end up, when you get booked and they find it, you're going to end up with a felony charge. So she admitted to having the marijuana in her coochie. But, and the charge, the original charge, was that she pepper sprayed a guy who was holding a baby.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was arrested originally for assault and then was FTA at the court hearing. Interestingly enough, the part that I found, the whole part of this, the whole thing came down to, for me, she lists her, I saw the picture of her, and she lists her occupation as chef slash companion.
Chef what slash does that mean? Companion. That means she's a hooker that cooks.
She's a hooker cooker.
Hooker cooker. She cooks in more ways than one.
She's a chooker.
A chooker?
A cooker and a hooker.
A chef and a hooker.
Chooker.
I don't know, but I just found that interesting. How do you get a job as a chef?
One of those stories
companion.
That always has the weird thing at the end. I'm a chef companion.
And does she serve in like lingerie or something? Does she serve the meals and. I don't know.
Hey, fish taco night.
Okay, I got a story from Mark M., but who knows if we've already done it. Was it the three college students who created the world's first beer that won't give you a hangover?
Nope.
Nope. We haven't done that one yet. We haven't done that this week.
New malt beverage called Prime. It was developed by three students who say that their alcoholic beverage will not stop the drinker from catching a buzz, but will stop the hangover. Now, I think it's kind of sad because they're trying to raise money to market this thing on Indiegogo. Their campaign's only raised about $750, and it's been up for like a week.
That's one alcoholic guy. Yeah. He's like, damn.
One guy who woke up with a hangover going, God, how do I not feel like this anymore?
I said, this has got to make it.
Basically, what they did was they paired the malt beverage with amino acids, biochemicals that the liver needs to break down acetaldehyde and keep it from giving you a hangover, basically. And it also has electrolytes so that you stay hydrated even though you're drinking alcohol. And a vitamin B complex. To prevent headaches.
I would think that
it's practically nutrition.
I would think that some large booze company would already be talking to these guys.
Yeah, I think they could a little further along, but they got a shot.
Yeah.
Because if you could drink without a hangover, you'd probably stay out there longer.
If you could drink without a hangover, there would be a lot less people calling in sick to work. Productivity right. in America would go up substantially.
That's right.
Well, there are other products on the market that claim to prevent hangovers when you're drinking.
She wants her tea.
Oh.
But this is the first time that they've combined the anti-hangover thing with the actual alcohol.
All right.
I wish them luck.
Yeah, so do I. Let's see.
Well, in case you ever go out, you know.
No, hangovers don't feel good.
By the way, there was a lot of boozy news in here from Fran. There are a few from Bill, but most of it's
fantastic.
She must have had a lot of time in her hands this week. In New York, Cassandra Fearing, she says her occupation
Fearing
is
what?
Actress and substitute teacher.
And chef and companion.
And chef and companion. Yeah, exactly.
Another one of those weird occupations. Actress slash substitute teacher.
I could totally see that.
Well,
it's
she's
like
not an
actress, waitress.
She's not a substitute teacher anymore.
Got
she
it
lost
bad,
her job.
Got it bad, got it bad.
I'm hot for teacher.
She's not that cute. I mean, she's cute, but...
Got it bad, so bad.
She just lost her job, so apparently she's not really a substitute teacher anymore.
She was substituted for?
Yes. The principal fired her because he found out that she was asking in class her 9-year-old students for dating advice. She was discussing her personal life with her boyfriend and asking the kids, what would you do if blah, 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 and getting dating advice from her kids instead of teaching them math.
Little boy said, if I were you, I'd blow him.
What would you do if he offered anal?
The strange thing about this is, so she asked the kids
like
for...
That part wasn't strange.
Yeah, that's already strange. So she asked these kids, she jeopardizes her job, asked the kids all this inappropriate, wildly inappropriate discussions with these 9-year-olds, and then doesn't take their advice.
She didn't.
No, she didn't.
Because what the hell does a 9-year-old know about sex?
Well, she said it was that she's protesting
says,
this.
If you could only cook and be his companion, it would work.
That's right.
She's protesting her dismissal, claiming she did not act inappropriately. She said that that the principal's report, and I'm quoting here, contains blatant lies. And it also, this was G-rated. I certainly wasn't talking about sex or anything.
Yes.
I think that anytime you're talking about your personal life in your classroom, what? It's inappropriate.
Really?
You're there to teach the kids.
Really? I don't know.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that statement.
I don't know if I can ride that bandwagon with you, Shelley. But you by all means stay on top of it, though. You got the soapbox section to yourself.
There's room on my bandwagon.
Oh, really? Well, oh, goodness gracious. Okay, well, in that case, that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Come on, Shelley.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about.
So what's up?
Shelley's all pissed off because she doesn't want to sing. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Makes her ears ring. Who'd have thought they'd make it? Back here where we need you.
Do we have a topic? Or are you just going to like...
We do. What is it, Shelley?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. I forgot.
Really?
Really? What is the topic? I forgot.
It's all piratey and everything.
Oh, it's arr. Yes, we're going to talk about like a why were we talking like pirates? Blow the man down.
There be rough seas ahead, matey.
Ah, there we go. Right. Wait, what is that about?
Dead men tell no tale.
Thar she blows.
Dead men tell all kinds of tales if you're a forensic pathologist.
CSI Shelley, new this fall.
I've never watched CSI anything.
Either have I. Have you ever, Mark?
Not on purpose. Once in a while it's on in a room that I'm in.
So, how'd this come up, Mark?
I don't know. We were talking about stuff. It just kind of came up.
So, what we've got is, are we referring to... just new people, or when the rough seas come up anytime?
Oh, I think rough seas come up at times for all. So I don't think it's just new people. Obviously, it's centered around the newcomer and the ups and downs of the early aspect of the program and the, you know, pink cloud turning into the mushroom cloud and all those kind of things that go on.
I think my pink cloud, although it's gotten medium rare a couple of times, it's still fairly pink a lot of the time. And I look good in pink. Shelley?
Yes?
Do you have any comments?
No.
Well, who's the lead-out music by?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. We're talking about...
I need to tell people what's actually going on here.
What's actually going on here?
The local grocery store has some Monopoly game going, and they gave Shelley a bunch of Monopoly tickets, and she's going through them to see if we win anything.
Which is very vital, important crap.
Exactly. It's crap.
So Mark, crap?
Huh?
It's crap?
It's crap.
I'm not exactly sure where we're... I guess my problem is you're asking me if I have a comment. Well, yeah, sometimes life sucks, and then it gets better, and then it kind of sucks again, and then it gets better. And
so what do you do with...
Then it kind of sucks again, and then it gets better.
Well, how about this? How about an example from your own recovery when maybe early on you had ups and downs? How did you weather... How'd you weather the storm?
Arrgh, this be sucking. I called my sponsor a lot, and she always told me the same thing. You're right where you're supposed to be. I was just so ready to smack her
because
after, like,
if you weren't,
year.
You'd be somewhere else.
Well, I guess so, but it's... And I mean, I understand the sentiment now, but for me, it was like, so you're telling me I'm supposed to be miserable. Well, yes, apparently right now you're supposed to be miserable.
But God intended me to be happy.
Eventually.
Now.
You don't know that.
I do.
You don't know the mind of God.
I do. God told me.
What, in your last drunken haze or something? I mean,
10 minutes ago.
Purple haze all through my brain.
In my brain.
What? I did a lot of purple haze back in the day.
God told me to be happy and eat something with hot fudge on it.
Who's your higher power? I want that one. I'm moving. Move named, over. I'm coming.
Guy named Baskin Robbins.
He goes, yeah, my higher power is wearing a Baskin Robbins uniform.
He's got 31 years. Or flavors.
I don't know. When you're talking, but if you're talking about early recovery, because somebody mentioned that at some point, we are all the architects of our own disasters, our own catastrophes.
Ooh, you could have saved that for final words. That would have been good.
Yeah, I could have, I suppose. I do that all the time.
If we end the show now, that could be them.
That's almost not a bad name for the show. Architects of our own disaster.
Yeah.
Kind of gets rid of the arg. Yeah.
But I found that when I was in early recovery, I had a very difficult time recognizing that I was the boss of that train wreck. You know, and I literally the boss of that train wreck because I certainly wasn't handing it over to God.
Were you on the trestle over denial?
Yes.
I like that.
So, Mark, how about yourself when you were new? Ups and downs, ins and outs.
I don't remember what I had for storms. Breakfast on Thursday. You only remember when I was new?
Apparently.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I remember when I was new and I came in, I just wanted to not feel the way I felt before I got here.
Yep.
And I didn't care what I had to do to feel that way. And I saw a group of people who seemed to be having a good time. And they told stories that sounded a whole lot like stories I would tell. So I just followed them around and did what they did. And I see people, I see the newcomers today coming in. And
blind leading the blind and sick leading the sick.
It's like a, wow.
Holy crap. That scared the dudes out of me.
Sponsee. Mine?
Yes.
Okay, well, did you hang up on him like I did?
That's your sponsee calling.
Did you hang up on him like I did?
Yes, I did.
Okay. He's calling from the convention. Therefore, he could find somebody there to talk to.
A, and B, didn't you tell him when we were recording? Yeah.
I've talked to him twice today. How many times have you talked to him?
Just
see,
once.
See, this feeds right into the topic.
How?
Because we're going to talk about it next. That's how. See, anything feeds into our topics because nobody
That's
has
true.
Any idea what the what our flipping topics
That's
are about.
True.
You know. No, we. You know, I mean, I grabbed onto this program like the veritable drowning man grabs onto a life preserver, and I think that newcomers today grab onto this program like a drowning man grabs onto a life preserver in 2 feet of water.
They haven't quite gotten to the point of drowning yet.
Yeah, it's like, stand up.
Yeah. Well, they talk about it a lot, and, you know, I've heard it in many times in meetings, and we've talked about it here, where you say, you know, back in the day, like in the mid to late 30s, people were dying. I mean, the people that came to AA were literally dying to get here. And now we get, you know, people that get sent because they got caught smoking weed one time by their mom, or, you know, they for the first time ever, they got a DUI because they had three beers and, you know.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, really? And how much have you been drinking? I only drink on New Year's Eve.
Amateur.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drank one time. It was my 21st birthday.
Why are you here?
I had three beers.
Because a judge sent me.
That's actually rather convenient. Our son is turning 21 today.
Uh-huh.
He has no driver's license. Awesome. He can't possibly end up in jail.
He said he's going to have a party tonight. He's going to have one beer because he's concerned.
Yes.
He's concerned that, you know, it runs in his family.
What he told me, he said that he was having a few friends over to have a party, and I was like, yeah, party, woo! And he said, no, Mom, I mean, I'm just going to have one beer. And I looked at him like, what? And he said, I swear, I promise, just one beer. And I said, no,
he's
you don't
understand. He's going to slam a bunch of heroin, but he's only going to have one beer.
Yeah.
I said, Connor, you misunderstand me. The look I'm giving you is because you're turning 21. You're not an alcoholic. He's never, like, colored outside the lines or gotten in trouble or done anything like that. He's allowed to sit in his house with his friends and tie one on if he wants to. He's 21 years old. Go
party. You want me to get someone to take some crack over there for him?
And I said, you know, you're allowed to. It's your 21st birthday. This is traditionally the time for you to party. If you're not an alcoholic, you might as well go for it. And he said, Mother, I am a type 1 diabetic, and you are a friend of Bill W. It may be hereditary. I do not want to end up like that. I'm like, okay.
I posted a picture on his Facebook page, and it's got this kid who's got like this keg-sized can of beer. I said, well, if you're only going to have one, make it count.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know where my son got his common sense, but it sure wasn't from me.
He clearly got it from me after
I
moved in.
It's from Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, that's I'm just made up. I'm, you know, snakes and snails and common sense.
Yeah. You're the voice of reason.
Voice of utter doom, usually. I had a few ups and downs when I first got in the program, mostly because I was still living on the roof of the club, and it was cold, and it was in November, and it rained a few times. And there's nothing quite like living on the roof of the club when it rains, because you can't stay on the roof of the club then, and, you know, taking your sleeping bag and to go sit in Winchell's all night, it's kind of a blow it. You look like you're homeless. I would order one cup of coffee with my, you know, 63 cents or whatever that I had in my pocket. And then I would sit there with the big book in front of me, and I would put my hands up like by my forehead like I'm reading and fall asleep. And the guy was pretty cool about it at Winchell's, because I didn't do it all the time, only if it was raining. And one time I'm sitting there, and I've got my elbows on the table, and I got my things up against my forehead. I got my big book here, and I got a cup of coffee right on above my big book there. And my hand slipped out, and I went down and crushed the cup of coffee, you know, styrofoam cup.
Yeah.
Just coffee everywhere, you know, ring on my forehead.
Yeah. And no more coffee.
Yeah, no more coffee. And a bunch of stains on my big book.
Well, that's okay. Big books are used to that.
Yeah. But
did he give you another cup of coffee?
He did.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really drinking the coffee, you know. I'm just letting sit there and get a cold so that it looks like I've got a coffee. I have a reason to be there. But early on, I didn't have a sponsor. So when I was really, really, really new, I didn't call a sponsor. I ended up talking to people, random people around the Alano Club, people that had time, people that had no time. I used to find it funny that I'd go up to talk to someone and ask them something really important, whatever that was, and turned out the guy had, you know, three more days than me. You know,
each one teach one.
Yeah, but I try and find the guys with more time. Shelly's gone through many of these game pieces, and she's tossing them to the side, which means we're not winning anything.
She knows the live ones.
We haven't won Dooley Squat this time. Last time they did the Monopoly game, we won like a bunch of $2 ones and a couple of $5 ones and a bunch of free food and stuff. We won nothing. Too much. This becomes like a second job, opening these stupid tickets.
Yeah, I know.
And we've won nothing.
Not that this is off topic or anything. My buddy James sits at the store, and when there's no customers, he enters. He's got a couple of email addresses sent up that go to, you know, They're for spam email. Mm-hmm. He signs up for every contest he could possibly be in. Last year, he won a trip to the Marlboro Ranch, traded it in for $5,000 cash.
Nice.
He's won a TV. He's won a laptop. He's won all kinds of stuff. Because, you know, you always hear that. You go, oh, that's a bunch of crap. Apparently, somebody on many of these things wins because he's won a number of items.
I have a friend of mine in my women's group online that does that. And she posts her little winnings to our group, like, whenever she wins. And, like, some months, she only posts, like, one thing. Oh, I only want a pair of Oakley sunglasses or whatever on this one contest.
That's not bad.
But then there was one month she was posting something, like, every other day and cash prizes. And we're like, Linda, how are you doing this? And she's like, you got to be persistent. It takes, like, you know, I spend, like, 4 or 5 hours a day doing this.
We had a gal in my Tuesday night meeting who used to call the local KLOS radio station and... One got to see U2 in Australia, and it was an outdoor concert. When they got there, they were having like this monsoon-type weather. They canceled the concert. So here she is in Australia, the land of bitchin' beaches and everything. She didn't get to do anything. That was one of her ups and downs in recovery. Fairly new in the program, wins a bitchin' trip to Australia, see U2 live in an outside amphitheater, U2 show canceled, couldn't even go to the beach. Bummer. Mm. So.
Yeah, but I'll bet there was a meeting going on somewhere that she could attend.
Yeah. Now, and you know me, I would go. Another country, especially with English, I'd go. So, Shelley, what do you say to your sponsees that are having ups and downs?
Exactly what my sponsor said to me. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I get the same looks given to me that I gave my sponsor. But it's true, you know, and I also, you know, I tell them it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Let's work a step here. Let's, you know, get some writing done. Do what, you know, whatever portion of the program they're currently in, we forge ahead with. And sometimes, you know what, especially in the beginning, it was like this for me, and I found it was like this for a couple of my young sponsees that I no longer have. Sometimes it's just about human contact with somebody that you know is like you and understands how you're feeling. You know, I had one sponsee a while back that when she was not feeling well, she'd just come over to the house. We'd hang out and chat. No big deals. If I was running errands, she'd go with me to run my errands. When the meeting time rolled around, I'd drop her off at the club or we'd go to the meeting together. And, that, you know, it was not – she just didn't want to be alone. And that's fine.
Mark, I have – can't remember the last time I used the "you're right where you're supposed to be" thing. Do you ever use that with guys?
No, I don't.
Because you just lower the hammer.
Well, because you know how it makes you feel when somebody says it to you. You're right where you're supposed to be. Because then I have to be prepared for the answer that I give people when they tell me that.
Yes.
Go F yourself.
Yeah.
You know. It's like when the person said to me one time in the meeting, they took a group conscience and I voted against it just because I vote against almost all group consciences that I don't present, just to be different. And she looked at me and said, all opposed. I raised my hand. She goes, call your sponsor, which is that typical smarmy ass answer that people give. So.
Yeah.
So just for fun. I called my sponsor. Said, hey, we had a group conscience, and I voted against it, and they told me to call my sponsor. He's okay. He goes, next time I tell you to call your sponsor, say, I called my sponsor. My sponsor said, fuck you. So 2 weeks later.
I called my sponsor, said, fuck you. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'm of that ilk as well. I don't usually say you're right where you're supposed to be. I've said it to people in the past, but not so much in the last few years.
First off, you're not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because if you feel that poorly, you should go drink. So you should be at a bar. So you're not where you're supposed to be. You should be at a bar.
True.
Right?
No, because everything is according to God's will. That's what Bruce says. So if you're not drinking and you're miserable, apparently that's what God wants for you at that moment. There's a lesson for you to learn.
God wants me to be eating something with hot fudge on it right now. I told you this.
So Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the subject be? I'm just looking at our new mixing board thing. There's some definite red lines on it, and I'm wondering what they're from.
If Maxed you read out? The little yellow strip at the bottom of the editing program window, it will tell you what they are. Somebody said something too loud, and we maxed it out, so I will have to go in and cap those.
Okay.
So what?
Oh, are we on final words?
Final words, yes.
Go to Mark.
Mark?
I already spent my final words.
Final words?
And back to you, Dick.
Wow. That's almost prophetic. Back to you, Dick.
Back to you, Dick. Final words, huh?
Yes.
Beware when trying to steer a rudderless ship.
There you go. Shelley, back to you.
I don't know. You can have all of the ups and downs in recovery that you want. So be careful what you want.
We are the masters of our destiny. We are the captains of this ship. I can't remember how you said it. I was gonna steal your thing from earlier.
I am the master of disaster.
We're the masters of our own disasters.
We are the dreamers of the dream, and we are the makers of the music. We are makers of the music and the dreamers of the dreams.
Yeah.
Of the Willy Wonka? Temples of Syrinx.
Okay, seriously. Wow, no.
That probably went red on the mixing board. It'll come out all distorted. Shelley, we have a friend back east.
Awesome. That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
And
as our friend in the Inland Empire has done, if you go to 12stepgazette.com/IE, you can read the Southern California edition.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark,
what?
People listen to the shoe.
That's the rumor.
The really big shoe.
That's the rumor. They seem to not be listening as much this last week.
Well, we had a couple days where I had a little problem.
A little malfunction.
Posting shows and things due to a hard drive failure. Mm. But I did save the shows.
Congratulations. Yay. You saved the shows.
That's like the guy that saves the drink as he's falling down the stairs. I didn't spill my drink. Yes. Yeah.
Didn't spill the beer.
It would have been a drag if we lost four recorded shows.
It would have.
Because yes. We'd be working hard tonight.
We'd be recording seven shows tonight.
And we're not doing that.
No.
So, but anyway, you listen to the show, we appreciate it very much. We ask that you go to our site, recovery101.net, and that will click on that, and you'll end up at the Podomatic site. We ask you that you become a member of Podomatic. Once you join Podomatic, you can then like shows, you can comment, you can add us to your playlists, you can suggest topics, which will make you not have to listen to train wrecks like what we just completed. So anyway, listen however you listen, and as a lot of our comment people say, show up and do your job.
There you go. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. You can join, if you want to be more anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That is a closed group, and you have to ask to be invited. If you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall be booted. Although I think with, like, you give them a chance in case someone hacked their account or something and spammed for them. You can email us at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff by emailing recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Looking for Trouble.
Looking for Trouble. April Snow and the Boys. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
confessions, and I promise to tell you no lies. I got a secret obsession, a pleasure that satisfies. It's got curves in all the right places, a V8 and 4 on the floor. It takes me to faraway places. Well, I'm wild about my Thunderbird 4. I'll take a ride in your Chevy or Dodge. But honey, don't be absurd. You know the only car you're parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Right beside me, and I promise to make you a man. And if you won't oblige me, I'll find somebody who can. Don't ask me how it handles, don't ask how fast it drives. I'm not that good with the details, but my T-bone makes me feel so alive. Chevy or Dodge, but honey, don't be absurd. The only car that's parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Don't ask me how it handles. I said, don't ask how fast it drives.